is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome David Maxwell, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, recalling his time in the U.S. Army during the early days of the War on Terror. But before that, there was a threat in the Philippines, a threat to the peace of the Philippines by an organization that was part guerrilla, part rebel, part terrorist, part kidnappers, in other words, lawbreakers. But we're dealing with how the U.S. participated in the Philippines under President Arroyo. This goes back to the beginning of this century. How they dealt with an organization that had the freedom to roam in the wilds of Mindanao and Solo, the Philippines archipelago. And then along comes 9/11. David, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Your memories extend before 9/11, and in place before the attack on Washington and New York was a light reaction force, I believe. What was that intended for? Who set it up? And before 9/11, what was its task? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening. We, of course, had a long relationship with the Philippines, and the Philippines has had multiple insurgencies and rebel groups from the communists to the Moro National Liberation Front, the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and the Abu Sayyaf was a terrorist organization, which you well described, with links to Al-Qaeda. Prior to 9/11, the late ambassador, Michael Sheehan, recognized the problem. He was the ambassador for counterterrorism at the State Department, and it was his vision to help the Philippine government in their counterterrorism fight, and he provided the resources, the State Department provided the resources for the first Special Forces Group to conduct a mobile training team operation to organize, train, and equip a Philippine National Counterterrorism Force, which came to be known as the Reaction Company. While we were conducting that training and building that force, the Americans, Gracia and Martin Burnham, Guillermo Sobero, and Philippine nurse Deborah Yap were kidnapped on the island of Palawan by the Abu Sayyaf group, the ASG. They were brought to the island of Basilan and held for ransom, kidnapped for ransom. And we completed the training of the Light Reaction Company in July of 2001, and they were immediately deployed to the island of Basilan, but we were unable to provide advisors to that force because, you know, for political reasons, risk averseness within the military and the government, they were unwilling to send special forces to the conflict area at the time. In fact, on the day of 9/11, the day after 9/11, I was actually scheduled to fly to Mindanao to meet with the commander because we had been communicating our special forces sergeants and their special forces sergeants, and we had a good idea of how they were being employed. And the Pacific Command had decided that, yes, maybe we should provide advisors. And so I was on my way to meet them when 9/11 happened, and all flights were canceled. 3 days after 9/11, I did make it to Mindanao, discussed with the commander, and by that time, the Special Operations Command Pacific, the first Special Forces Group, had already put in place the plans to conduct an assessment, develop a campaign plan, and provide support through, with, and by the Philippine security forces to help the Republic of the Philippines defend themselves against the lawlessness, subversion, and terrorism that existed in Mindanao.
This is irregular warfare, and David Maxwell is providing us an example of what works. It hasn't finished yet. The Philippines remains unsuccessful in rooting out all of the bad actors, but this works because of preparation. I want to just come up right to 9/11 and what happened before, David, because there are lessons here for all special forces operations around the world. Looks to me that you had four strengths for this light reaction force. Training was clearly important. Yes. Discipline, training, understanding what your mission is. But target access to areas. You had to target access areas. And please help us understand how forbidding the archipelago can be, the jungles of Mindanao and Basilan, how difficult it is to operate in those operations, and intelligence gathering. What does it mean when you're that far outside the circle?
Yes, the jungles in Mindanao, you know, in some places are triple canopy jungles. We have some photographs of some of the Abu Sayyaf camps and bunker complexes that we take in the daytime, which actually looks like at nighttime because the jungle is so thick, which makes it very hard for imagery, you know, satellites and other overhead imagery to take photographs that are helpful. We didn't have jungle penetrating radar to support our operations. However, we used a mix of signals intelligence, human intelligence, and to really build the intelligence picture to support the Philippine security forces as they conducted operations. We targeted the conflict areas. Actually, we targeted the areas of conflict that were contested with the Abu Sayyaf, but we also targeted conditions, the conditions that drive the people to support the terrorist insurgents. And so we use civil military operations, the building of roads, schools, medical facilities, to really help the Philippine government, Philippine military, improve the lives of the Philippine people. And that provided access to the security forces to these contested areas and then to develop the intelligence needed to target the Abu Sayyaf camps and be able to conduct operations to capture or kill Abu Sayyaf leaders.
To have this relationship with the people who live there, is that what you mean by influence operations?
Absolutely. You know, and it's really, you know, we're trying to influence the behavior of the civilian population, those who support the terrorists and insurgents themselves. One of the programs that we had was, we call it Dissent and Discord, try to develop dissent within the Abu Sayyaf, within the terrorist group, to try to strip away the low-level members of the group from the leadership and create discord within the group. And we used the State Department's Rewards for Justice program. We targeted them with cell phone messaging, leaflets, comic books for the children to give them an idea of how the honorable Philippine tribes can live and function without supporting terrorism. All of those things were designed to try to separate the population from the terrorists. And, you know, we had some very successful examples of that, particularly when the Philippine Special Forces killed the successor leader of the Abu Sayyaf group, Abu Salaman, in January 2007.
Along comes 9/11. Everything changes. And you have a plan in place, but now it has to adjust itself to the larger Operation of Enduring Freedom. OEFP is Operation Enduring Freedom Philippines. I touched on this a little bit. My memory, 20 years, is dim. You've helped me a little bit remind myself what we were talking about. I didn't have a feel for the connection between the operations in the Philippines and Al-Qaeda, but you've reminded me that some of the bad actors that led the assault on Washington and New York either trained in the Philippines or had a sympathetic network in the Philippines. Is that correct, David?
That is correct, yes. And direct link from Al-Qaeda to supporting the Abu Sayyaf. But in 1995, one of the Al-Qaeda cells was compromised in Manila, and on the computer networks that were captured, revealed plans to kill President Clinton, kill the Pope, conduct bombings of aircraft while in flight, and fly aircraft into buildings to target them. Those plans were known in 1995 and revealed in Manila in the Philippines.
So your operation in the Philippines was integral to this, to the success or not in the early days of the war on terror. Now, because David is in the military, this is a combined Army-Air Force operation. Is that correct, David? You worked with the Air Force.
Army, Air Force, Navy, Navy SEALs, Marines, Civil Affairs, Psychological Operations. All of the services provided support and capabilities, the right forces at the right time to support accomplishing the missions in support of the Philippine security forces.
You needed General Wayne Downing. Is he the shepherd that took it to the Bush White House to get it approved?
Yeah, he was the National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, her counterterrorism advisor. And so he relayed the story to me about getting it approved. And, of course, he recommended to the National Security Advisor that it be approved. But there was some friction in the White House. And apparently Secretary Rumsfeld did not feel that we should focus anywhere else other than Afghanistan and then, of course, later Iraq. And he was opposed to supporting the Philippines. But it was, you know, Dr. Rice reminded President Bush of his promise to President Arroyo that he would help in their fight against terrorism. And so he overruled Secretary Rumsfeld's recommendation. And of course, General Downing, with his deep understanding of special operations, he was the key person to be able to explain what special operations forces are capable of and why this force was the right force to help support national security objectives as part of the war on terrorism in the fall of 2001.
You're standing up, I believe that's the correct verb here, you're standing up a joint special, JSOTF. What does that stand for?
The Joint Special Operations Task Force, which is typically what special operations forces do. They create a task force that is purpose-built, mission-specific. And in this case, it was Joint Special Operations Task Force for the Philippines. And as I said, it brought together Army, Special Forces, Civil Affairs, Psychological Operations, Navy, Special Warfare, SEALs, and combatant crewmen, Air Force Special Operations Capabilities, Army Aviation Special Operations Capabilities, Marine Special Operations Capabilities, and conventional forces, logistics support, and it integrated intelligence from the national level, both military and civilian intelligence capabilities, and legal. The FBI provided legal support as well. And so it was an integrated task force, purpose-built to support the Philippine security forces in their fight against terrorism insurgency in Mindanao.
And it was military and law enforcement at the same time, because Abu Sayyaf was pretty much a band of there were marauders, there were banditos. They were plundering the people who lived there.
Absolutely. And of course, the FBI, the legal attaché, they were integral in helping the Philippines to build legal cases, as well as for the United States to build legal cases as well, you know, preserve evidence while you know, we supported their operations to be able to capture, kill the high-value targets. And interestingly, over time, the Philippine security forces shifted from military-dominated operations to really law enforcement, where they, you know, really improved the rule of law throughout Mindanao, you know, to the point where they developed arrest warrants for Abu Sayyaf leaders. You know, and use the rule of law with, and law enforcement with support of the military, to try to capture them. And of course, when they stand and fight, then the military, of course, would, do what's necessary, to include killing, high value targets.
I'm speaking with David Maxwell, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And we're speaking of the events in the Philippine archipelago in the early part of this century. When we come back, lessons learned from irregular warfare. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.